Hello, Global Parents. We are back again, and we are here with the conclusion of our interview with our smart, phenomenal global mom. And we hope that you have your tea, your coffee, or whatever your choice of drink is, and sit down with us and listen carefully, because you are going to be really, really pleased and amazed with what comes up next.
So, talking about my son's inclusion back in Pakistan, I'm going to start a little bit off from the basics. Before I found his playgroup to which he went to for about a year, he hopscotched a couple of schools, about three, four, five schools in a month and a half. But the difference from there in Pakistan compared to the Middle East was, the schools were upfront and honest. They were honest. They really were. In Pakistan, they told me upfront, they said, we don't have the skill set to be able to provide the necessities your child needs to be able to progress. And they were very apologetic and very understanding. But they don't have it, so they don't have it, so they can't entertain me and my child. Which is fine. It was frustrating. But at least I'm not being taken for granted. I'm not being taken on a ride. They're not taking the registration fees and, you know, taking my son in and then out again. They all said, we'll try. They didn't process the registration fees or anything. And then they would turn around and say, no, we don't think we have the skill set for it. They didn't put it on my child. They accepted it. I was lucky to find that playgroup where the teacher and the principal and the classrooms surrounding, they catered towards what I wanted, what I as a parent was setting goals for my child. They listened to me. And now he's going into a mainstream school. So sorry, coming back to this playgroup, his nanny would sit in as a shadow teacher initially for the first 6 months. She sat inside with him in the classroom. Eventually, from sitting next to him, to sitting in the classroom away from him, to sitting outside the classroom in the reception the last 6 months, to going in the afternoon just to pick him up. So he outgrew the need of her. And the school learned, the playgroup learned to deal with his tantrums and curb them down a lot.
You truly are explaining the proper process of using a shadow.
Yeah.
You know, finding the right fit is not always easy, but we have to look across environments, the school, the home, our community, and make sure that whatever puzzle we're putting together fits what our child needs. Listen in and see how that works.
I do want to tell you all the activities that I did with my child as well. But on recent occasions, because I know now he's really progressed, he's going into school, he's going into mainstream school. Again, I pulled him back for 2 months in KG, because now when he goes back in August, he graduates into grade one without a shadow teacher. And he's been in that school for 2 months now without a shadow teacher. Yes, we have our ups and downs, but he's learning to deal with it. And he's learning that all actions have consequences. But so now that he's at a much more mature stage in his life, his nanny, out of habit, is doing things for him, like making him wear his shorts or washing his hands and or pulling the chair for him before he's sitting on the table and things like that. And I'm like, no, he can do it himself. You're his nanny, you're not his servant. There's a big difference. Nanny means that you gotta eyes on him. You gotta watch out that he doesn't hurt himself. If it's a matter of life and death, you pick up the phone and you call me. But otherwise, you're really just there as a set of eyes to supervise him. Not to do things for him. you're not his extra set of pair of hands. You're not going to be there for the rest of his life. So I really need him to be able to pull up his shorts himself. I need him to be able to brush his teeth on his own and stuff like that. And because now she's been with me for 2 years. So mind you, when she joined me, when she came into our family, my son was 2 years younger. So he needed help with him wearing clothes and him brushing his teeth. But because she's been doing it, it's become a habit. So now, and because I know the way I've been working with my child, I know what are the things that need to break and should not be part of the daily routine and pattern. So I have to tell her now consciously, no, you can't do that, because he's already progressed. He knows how to do this. Stop doing it for him, because you're going to enable him. All the progress that we're making, he's just going to start regressing. So stop it. And as an adult, it's difficult for her to break that habit, but we're at that stage with her right now. As far as the activities that helped him...
Before we get to the activities, one question. How long was she in the classroom with him before she progressed to just picking him up after school?
Well, the playgroup was for 3 hours only, all right? I would drop my son at 8:45 in the morning. Mm-hmm. She would come at 10:30, and he would leave at noon with her. So she was there for about an hour and a half in the classroom to, I'd say, 4 months, 5 months, tops, and she was out of the classroom. Where sometimes the playgroup would get upset and say, why have you told the nanny to come late, and we needed her in class? And I'm like, you probably needed her, but he didn't. You know, I mean, it's your job to be able to deal with him. 4 months of shadow teacher, you should have been able to. Now you should know my son and his personality and what ticks him off and what doesn't tick him off. And, you know, and what are the buttons to push for him to be able to be a good boy and listen to you, you know.
But not all day.
Not all day.
Not the full 3 hours.
No, not the full 3 hours.
Only approximately an hour and a half.
Only approximately,
yeah. And then that was eventually tapered off, completely
gone.
For 4 months.
Yeah. Today, we have full-blown conversations where he turns around and tells me, Mama, don't argue with me. That's not a very good decision. And I'm like, yeah, you're absolutely right. So
from 2 years of nonverbal to now
full-blown conversation.
Explaining and negotiating.
Totally. The one thing that I have stuck by him, one very important rule. This is something that you told me once. I don't know if you even remember this or not. He is a little man. He's a big man in a little child's body, is what you told me about him. And I can't talk to him like a child. I've noticed if I talk to him as I am talking to an adult with logic, he responds to it more. So, and the best thing, what do we do with adults? All your actions have consequences. So I noticed there's no point in me getting worked up and screaming and shouting and why did you do this? And it's as simple, you know, you choose to do this, that's fine. Either this will happen or that will happen. You know, if you choose to do this, this is what's going to happen. And if you choose to do this, that's going to be the outcome. I think you should do A, but if you choose to do B, go ahead. But be ready to bear the consequences. I've already told you. And believe me, he has tried and tested me, and he's tried and tested both ways, A and B. And he's had to, but as a parent, you need to not feel guilty about carrying through your punishment or whatever it is or the consequence that it is. Because that's the only way they're going to learn. That's the only way they're going to learn, really. And I tell you, it's the easiest way, and I don't understand why all parents are not doing it, because you've decided that you're not going to get stressed about punishment or timeout or screaming and shouting or spanking. your life is just so much simpler. You just tell them it's this or that, your choice. So you're making your child feel like as if he's in control, because usually that's what it's about. Your child wants to be in control and they're fighting with you because they don't have that control. So make them feel that they have that control. And once that they have that control, well, you got to deal with the consequences, whether good or bad, because you chose it, didn't you? So if you choose to have that extra bit of patience of 5 minutes to talk it out with them, they are going to respond and they will shine so fast and progress so quickly. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's I'll give you an example of it might sound a little harsh, but my son, he wanted to play with the electric kettle. And I kept telling him, don't do it, you're going to get hurt, it's hot, it's hot, it's hot. And he didn't want to listen to me, and he had this twinkle in his eye that, I'm not going to listen to you, I'm going to do what. So it wasn't burning hot, but it wasn't warm either, it was somewhere in between. And I said, go ahead, fine, you don't want to listen to me, go ahead, touch it. And I let him, I know he's not going to burn his hand, but I know it's going to be hotter than normal. And he touched it. And he was like, ouch, that's hot. And I was like, see, I told you so. And then a little tear is coming out of his eye. And he's like, well, that was hot. And now he wants to throw a tantrum because it was hot. No, you're not allowed to throw a tantrum because it was your choice to touch it. Right? I told you not to do it. And you can see it visually in their eyes that they're computing and they're saying, yeah, you're right. I don't get to be upset about this.
You know, the children always amaze me. Listen in and you will understand why.
So one of the other things that I had implemented with my son was about every action has consequences. I've asked him to do his cursive handwriting, okay? Now, for his age, he's doing advanced cursive handwriting because that entertains him. Again, coming back to that, academically, he's advanced. But as a reward, because it's something repetitive that he's doing and he doesn't like doing repetitive things. So as a reward, I give him one of those chocolate eggs with toys inside it, the Kinder Joy egg. And so there are days when he doesn't do it. And he still asks me for the egg. And he knows he's not going to get it because he hasn't completed the task. And there have been times where he's tried to throw a tantrum, where I've kept my cool and I said, well, you know, you did choose not to do it. So it's okay. You want to scream and shout? Go ahead. If you don't want to scream and shout, good. Either way, whatever you decide to do, you're not getting it because you chose not to finish the activity. So he realizes that, you know, that there's no, he realizes that there's no sense in throwing a tantrum anymore, because whatever he decides to do based on that, that's how mama's going to react.
And what is he doing instead of throwing a tantrum?
He turns around and he tells me,
he's talking it through.
He just turns around and says, oh, I should have finished it, right, Mom? Yes, you should have. Do you think I can have another chocolate egg tomorrow? Well, yes, if you finish your activity in time.
So he's using reasoning.
Yes.
He's processing the event.
Yes.
The circumstances.
Right.
He's dealing with the consequences.
Exactly.
He's accepting the changes.
Yes.
He's adapting.
So
all of those skills.
All in all,
that
it's
now he's
yeah.
utilizing.
But you know what, Del? This is something that I told you earlier also. I think, aren't all parents supposed to be doing this in the first place, rather than that old school of thought, give your child the stick or give him a nice spanking or give him a slap on his face because that's what we did when we were young and, you know.
I think it's a little more difficult now because there are so many other external factors that are coming into play. And you mentioned earlier the use of technology. And technology is useful under certain circumstances
yeah.
and not overused, etc. And then, of course, there have always been instances where children develop
at different rates. And those children that have more of a tendency not to develop those certain things, you know, those certain skills, I will say, then those external factors will have more of an impact. So parents, you know, parenting has changed, circumstances have changed,
yeah.
Situations have changed. So we do have to be a lot more knowledgeable of skills. And again, you know, one thing that we did not ever discuss or need to discuss at that point that I felt, and something with all of my parents, I don't necessarily discuss the need at that point for a diagnosis.
Yes.
So because parents need time to accept that everything is based on skills. So what are your thoughts about, and you did go for assessment, but dealing with the skills development program and aspect of the language development, do you still feel that there was a need for assessment? Because some parents, when you say, what is the difference now, are parents parenting, there's a lot more information now on autism.
Mm.
And it's kind of in out there as far as the word. And so parents are looking more to, you know, for that checklist to say that their child is not autistic, and they're forgetting that some of those skills are just developed. So we did skills development, basically,
language
development, and not a specific diagnosis. What are your feelings about that? Was it beneficial to you?
Was there looking back at what I went through and seeing where my son is today, I think I jumped the gun with the assessments. I honestly don't think I needed them, honestly. I think I should have just gone with my gut instinct, which from the very beginning was, I just need to work on him and he's gonna be fine eventually, because he was.
But the school didn't give you that option.
No, they didn't. The school didn't give me that option. I was pressured into it, yeah.
Did not,
and family didn't give me that, exactly. Now, like I said, looking back at it, I think I should have been a little more stronger. Then I should have believed in my maternal instincts more. I shouldn't have questioned myself as much as I did. Had I found you sooner, probably.
But how do you then get the strength to go up against a school, which most parents, they are reluctant because they realize that they are professionals?
That's a very good question. Sorry, I'm interrupting you there. That's a very good question. I would say in the Middle East, I'll be very honest with you, and this is the sad truth to it, I wouldn't say go up against the school. I'd say walk away, because that school ain't worth your child's time and investment. Find something that fits your child. You're wasting your time fighting the system, whereas it's easier and more productive and progressive for your child if you take him out and put him into something which is more suitable for him. Really, it is.
Even if you are turned away by 3, 4, 5 schools?
I know how it sounds like, but it's the sooner that you can let go and move on, the better for you and your child. Because even if you were turned around, like I was turned around by 4 or 5 schools in Pakistan.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, I was turned around by 4 or 5 schools in Pakistan. Now, had I stayed on that topic and harped about it, what purpose would it have served with me? I don't have the liberty to waste that time, because that time's not going to come by and it's already going to go pass by so quickly and damage my son. I don't have the time to sit and think about, oh my God, these schools rejected my son. Mm-hmm. What to do now? Should I fight them? No. Ignore them. Walk away. Walk away and do what is right for you and your son. That's more important. You really, it's not like you're giving, it's not like you've lost a battle. You haven't lost a battle. You haven't, my son was asleep while we were doing all this, and now here he is. Come here. Come here, quickly. I missed you. Come here.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you well rested?
Yes, I am.
That's awesome. Do you want to go out for a drive now?
Yes.
I missed you.
I missed you too.
Did you dream about something? What did you dream about? Do you want to tell me what you dreamt about?
I'm having fun.
Oh, you dreamt about having fun? That's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who were you having fun with? And what kind of fun were you having?
Mom?
Mm-hmm.
Nani's so shocked at me. Miss Dad's so shocked that she's downloading me this one.
Yes, she's shocked that you had a dream about having fun.
I need to do pee.
Go. Go. So this is where we are from. In a matter of 2.5 years, Max stops of not saying anything to being echolalic to not proper conversation. It's very rewarding. It's so, so rewarding. You just have to find the strength within to let go and not care about what society thinks or what society expects from your normal child or whatever. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Simple. And you talked earlier, and you can't, as you mentioned, just think that it's going to go away.
No, you gotta work on it.
It takes work. And you mentioned before, it's been a 2-year process.
Yes.
And you have worked diligently, picked up on a lot of tips and utilized a lot of tips, and you've worked diligently.
Nonstop.
Daily, nonstop. So tell me what you've had to do in order to move this process along.
The other things, apart from the school and the shadow teacher and everything, the things that I did on a daily basis with him at home was I introduced my child to piano lessons, piano classes at home, because I needed, not because he needed to learn piano, but because I knew he needed an activity which requires him to sit again. Same thing
talking
being resorted.
Those skills,
yeah,
huh?
those things. He needs to sit on a chair, and he needs to focus, and he needs to listen to another person other than his mama as authority. Mm-hmm. Same things that are being enforced in his classroom at home via another person. So he did that for a couple of months, 6-7 months. Double hand playing with the keyboard, playing, you know, with two hands. The coordination, hand and eye brain coordination, the extracurricular activities. It's okay to get dirty with the paints, finger painting, paper plate activity. Again, learning how to cut, learning how to hold a brush, but painting within the lines with water paints, poster paints, markers, crayons. So he gets to deal with different textures, same colors but different textures. Different result with a water paint, with a poster paint, with a marker, color pencil, and so on and so forth. Sticking, glue, you know, paper plates activities, and all that to go ahead with it. Sorry, kind of short.
So basically, you carried out preschool
activities at home for 2 years.
Daily.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have enjoyed listening to this smart, phenomenal global mom as much as I have. I continue to enjoy their friendship. I continue to enjoy watching her son grow and blossom. And he is always so excited to see me whenever we FaceTime each other. I want all of you all to think about what is happening in your life as a parent, in your child's life, and put nothing before that. You have a right to ask questions. you have a right to require upfront and without a doubt, without hesitation, information that is concise and accurate from the professionals that work with you. Make sure that they are inclusive, global, and they have your child and your best interest at heart, just as the Smart Education Innovation Team does. We will continue to be an inclusive organization. We will continue to reach across borders and be an international company that is able to look at all of the avenues and all of the assets that your child brings to a table, as well as his family, and consider those things when we move forward and help you with progressing. Please visit us, www.kids.org. That's kidssmartstart.org, all one word. Or visit us on Facebook, Smart Education Innovation Team. We look forward to hearing from you. We always welcome questions. We always welcome feedback. And we look forward to working with all of our smart global parents. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And we look forward to hearing from you soon. Send us messages. Send us questions. We will respond.